Let's turn to 2 Peter this morning and get into something that the Lord has given me to give to you all. Just kind of give you a report of where ministry's going. It's doing good, having some great services. Was in West Virginia last weekend, Huntington, West Virginia. Got a couple weeks off. Kathy's daughter, my stepdaughter, I was calling my daughter, finally got home from Italy this week. Been there for 3 years, and her husband serving our country, fighting for our freedom. Bless them. Amen. Anyone ever served. So we're having a big shindig next weekend. I'm grilling hot dogs and hamburgers. Anybody want to drive to Kentucky? Come on up. We don't have very many bedrooms, but you bring your tent. We'll find you a place to stay. Amen. Whole bunch of woods in Kentucky. Do what? Miss Carolyn's going to have, I'm sleeping outside in the tent. Miss Carolyn's going to sleep with Kathy. So we got that all figured out now. All right. So she's coming up. Go ahead and pack your bags. We'll just take you today. You ready to go today? You ready to go? All right. So it's an honor, and got to know them, and we had our trip over to Italy and our honeymoon and a trip, and it was a blessing. Not only a blessing that we were able to go, but a blessing that we had free room and board and meals. Glory to God. That was even better. Hallelujah. It was good, and I can't wait till she makes me some hash browns next Saturday. She can make the best hash browns. Glory to God. I'm getting hungry already. 2 Peter, the Lord has been speaking to me a lot, and Wesley has done a job. Isn't the praise team doing a good job? You ain't on it. Like, you didn't miss anybody? Where's the drummer boy at? There he is. I was thinking that sitting there, like, you remember when they first started and see the growth? Megan tore that song up. Good job, girl. All right? It's just good to see people grow. And I was thinking, and you know, that's what I'm going to be speaking a little bit about. So let's just get into the Word in 2 Peter and read a couple of verses here. I think we have them on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verses 2. We'll go ahead and start. I'm going to start with verse 1 and just kind of go in one. I'll stop at verse 4. But it says, Paul says, this letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. He says, I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Don't you all know Jesus is fair? Don't you know he loves us? He cares for us? Aren't you glad that some people you meet aren't God? Somebody should have said a real big amen right there. Okay, let's look at verse 2. It says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of this marvelous glory and excellence. Verse 4, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. As I've traveled around the country now full time since 2001, being in a variety of churches, being in what I would call really traditional churches, churches that if I showed up in blue jeans and a pullover shirt with a ponytail, lots of people wouldn't let me preach. Now, how many knows the church has changed some the last few years? Now, I'm not knocking any which way, but what I'm seeing is God is releasing people to be who they are supposed to be. Used to, if people had a tattoo, you had to cover them all up. Now, if you've got a neck of woman on your arm, you should probably cover it up, all right? But use some sense. But we've also, things have changed. We used to, when people would come in with piercings on their nose, in their eyebrows, in their ears. You know, I remember when I was, it was 1979. I'm trying to think back. And in 1979, when I was probably I was a sophomore in high school then, and I was going to see a band. It was my very first concert. Some of you will remember this. Just tell you how old. I was going to see Molly Hatchet. Some of you are laughing like, Molly Hatchet, I remember them. Flirting with Disaster, right? And back then, I wanted to have my ear pierced. And I had a girl that I was going with, not as a date, but just as going to the concert with, because she had a free ticket. And I said, but, you know, I'm going to go. So she was going to pierce my ear. And I thought, well, cool, I'm going to get my ear pierced, see Molly Hatchet, it ain't going to cost me nothing. Well, at the last moment, her sister's boyfriend, which that was the ticket that I had, they got back together. I wanted to go slap him because I couldn't go. So I was upset, and my mom looked at me and said, why are you so upset? I said, well, I don't get to go watch Molly Hatchet tonight, but because Lisa got back with Taylor, and now Taylor and them made up, and Taylor and Lisa's back together, and he gets his ticket back. And I said, but the other thing I'm upset is I don't get to get my ear pierced. And my mama said, sit down there, I'll do it. And I looked at my mom, I thought, really? She said, yeah. She took two pieces of ice, put a little bit of alcohol, shoved the thing through there, pierced my ear, and I thought, that's cool. But in my area, I was one of the first ones that done it in Kentucky. And I took some heat for it. People say, you got your ear pierced. They called me different things. And I thought, but now it's okay for people to have pierced ears, guys. And so we look at that, but some people still are afraid to be who they are because of how people try to judge them. And it's not a sin issue. And I've even had some people talk to me about my hair. Why you got your hair? I had a guy the other day. I pulled in the gas station. There's a policeman. I'm chapping on our police department. And I pulled in the gas station. And another guy, one of my friends that was there, been a friend a long time, he said, won't you get your hair cut? This is what I said. I wasn't spiritual at all. I said, won't you shut up? I said, I'm donating my hair to someone that has cancer and they don't have no hair. And just because you don't have no hair because you can't grow no hair, shut up. I didn't go that far. I'm preaching. I had to get a little bit more in there. But I did tell him to shut up. But sometimes we don't know people's hearts. And even though, you know, Bob and Tammy live together and they talk about all kinds of stuff. Bob was telling me last night, did you date Bob when his hair was 18 inches long? She said, no way. But he told me last night, he said, man, your hair's getting long. I said, I got 2 more inches to go. He said, mine was 18 inches long one time. I said, man, that's long. And so, but you know, even though they talk about lots of things and clothes, but still, Bob don't know her every inch of her heart. Tammy on his as well. Now, they're married, great friends of mine, good couple. I've hung at their house. Now, since Penny's moved in, and I have to stay at the Savannah Inn, I can't stay at the same hotel anymore. Me and Kathy asked her, she said, where are we staying at? I said, we can't stay at Bob's. They run us out. Just kidding. But when we think about things in life and how things change, I mean, you'll agree, things are changing. Our country's changing. We watch the news and we see hatred. We see things that people can't even share some of their opinion. There's sometimes, look, me and my wife, we have different opinions. We have different things that we may agree on, disagree on. But, you know, that's part of life. That's part of living in America. But just because someone doesn't agree with you, there's no reason to go kill them. There's no reason to go and do the things, the world that we're facing today. So those things begin to stir something in me the last few days and few weeks. And I've been preaching about this and started preaching about this. And this is the first time I'm going to preach on this. But I'm going to title this, Grace and Peace Multiplied to You. Grace and peace. See, the Bible, it talks about how it's multiplied. In King James Version, it says, grace and peace be multiplied for you. In this one, it says, may God give you more and more grace. Adding on, give you more grace. What do you need more grace for? How many of you parents have changed the way you think in some of your parenting skills? Come on, be honest. Thank God some of you changed because you was beating them to death. Some of your kids told me to say that today. I'm just kidding. Some of you are thinking like, I should have beat them more. No. There's some amens. I will say that you probably do need that more now today than they used to. I will say that. I remember, how many of you ever picked your own switch? Anybody ever go pick your own switch? Anybody ever go pick the wrong switch? Your mama or daddy said, that's the wrong switch. I want one of those that are flimsy things. And when I swing it this way, it goes, and then it comes back and gets you again. I mean, you know, one of those. I remember my mom, I done that to my mom one time, and she said, you go out there and get me a switch. And I went out and got the switch because I hid the paddle. She had the paddle. It was over the front door, on the little lip on the door frame. So on the first trip, I was okay. I come back in with a switch. When I came back in the second time, I went out the first time, and my mom was standing at the door, and I thought, man, I hope that thing don't fall off and hit her in the head. It didn't. I had to go back in on a second trip. She came at the door. Boom, paddle fell, hit her on the head. You talking about getting a switch. I got switching and paddle both. But you know, there's some things that we need to maybe change. And how many knows that change is hard sometimes? How many knows we resist change? And so when I think about this, and grace be multiplied, imagine if God would visit you and ask you, I may ask this question, and if you it visit you in a dream, but in that dream he asked you whatever you wanted and you could tell him one thing you wanted. Now for me as an evangelist, when I travel, when I preach, the number one thing that probably people ask me to pray for when I pray and lay hands on people or pray for people, probably number one is healing. People want to be healed. Probably number two would be family problems, kids, marriages, things like that. Number three for me would be people that would have some addiction problems from anywhere, from cigarettes, maybe drinking, from drugs, different things. So that would be that. But as I began to think about those things, and three, that's what I thought. I thought one would be healing, two would be family, three would be addiction. But the more and more that I thought about it, more people come to me and says, Kenny, I want to know God more. Now, they look and they may be having these family problems. They may be having some addiction problems. They may be having healings or any sickness in their body. And when I think about that, and I thought, if he would ask you what, you know, whether it's a dream or if God would, you know, supernaturally appear to you and say, what can I do for you? If God could give you one thing, I'm going to put you on the spot because you're the praise and worship leader. You're up front anyway, so it don't matter, all right? What one thing, anything, if God could do anything for you, what would you want? And it doesn't have to be something spiritual, so don't get all spiritual on us, all right? You ready for the answer? You got it yet? All right, I'll come back to you. You think about it, all right? He's got a thing, man. He's got his thinking cap on. Don't put me on the spot, Kenny. All right? If there's one thing, Gary Mills, what they can do, that God can do for you, what would he do? Come on, one thing.
He's bless us with peace.
Bless him with peace. Huh? Daggone, you stealer, you just took his answer. But we think of things that we want God to do, and if there's anything that we need, we do need peace in this world, right? We need peace and we need love and we need to get connected again and we need to say, God, I want you to connect me, but I want you to give me more and more grace. I mean, I've got a 17-year-old daughter. I mean, I've already raised a teenage son, and he's out on his own. He's 26 now, living up in Indiana on his own, paying his own bills. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not asking me for money. Hallelujah. It's all good. Now, my daughter, she's got a world of awakening coming soon. She graduates this year. And she's already had her first accident. Being someplace where she shouldn't have been, tried to sneak and go somewhere, got caught, had a wreck. And I said, what did you learn? She said, I shouldn't have went. So we've had these discussions. So she's learning some things. Have you anybody ever been there with some things like that? Y'all face anybody ever faced that with your kids? Y'all are trying to be spiritual. Like, that's me. I don't want no one else to know. Listen to me, we all go through stuff. We go through things in life, and life is not always easy. You ready, Wes? Did you think of anything else? Peace is it, right? That's all you got. All right, that's all he's got. Do what? Teach us love. And if I think of anything that God needs to do, I believe in the time that we're at, and the presence of God the Father in our life is a big part of our family success. And when I think of that, that we fall short many times. How many of you sometimes feel short of being a role model? But because we are Christians and because we are children of God and we understand and know God forgives us, people that don't know that, they don't understand that. They don't understand grace. They don't understand love. They don't understand peace. They don't. And the Bible says to may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in the knowledge of Him. How are we supposed to grow in knowledge? How are we supposed to grow in these things and in grace? And how are we supposed to grow in peace? I'm going to share some things with you, but in how to do that. But if you would ask Him, God, I want a deeper knowledge of You. I want a deeper. Now, don't you think that God is a God of peace? Don't you think He's a God of love? Don't you think John says that He is full, completely full of grace and love. Full of it. And so when we think of that, and you know, I asked Kathy when we come in here, I said, you know, everybody was hugging her and telling her, hey, good to see you, glad you can come. And it's only her second trip here. And somebody even, I looked at her and said, do you remember anybody? She said, I remember a couple people. I said, hang with me. We'll keep on coming here twice a year. You'll get to know everybody. You're all good people. I love you guys. And you know what? I've watched growth here from being on the board here, now being an overseer. I've watched go through some difficult times here at Believers Church. Guess what? God has showed you all more and more grace. God has showed you more and more peace. God has showed you. So when I think about people wanting a deeper knowledge, God's word tells us that when we receive revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, that it will cause grace to be multiplied. Now, I'm not real good at math. I've never been good at math. When I was in school, back to tell you how, once again, I'm 50. I'll be 52 in next month. And back then, you only had to have math 9. And math 10 to be able to graduate. And guess what I wanted to take? Math 9 and math 10 because I was not good at it. So come my junior year, I took that my freshman year, math 9. I took my math 10 at my sophomore year. My wife is really, really smart. She's taking everything. She's taking algebra. What else stuff did you take? Calculus. I don't even know how to say some words. She's standing over here right now, so I don't even know what they are. But I only took math 9. My advisor came to me and said, now, Kenny, you've got to have another class. And I said, they said, why don't you take algebra? I said, no way. Well, you can do it. No way. After the first 9 weeks, my teacher said, no way. It's just not me. It's not me. But now, practical things in life and things like that, that's where I believe, so you know, how many knows God gifts you with different things? Now, I could have chose not to learn more about that. Did anyone else never put full attention in school? Did anybody? Some of you, they're doing the exact same thing. That's me, because I'm running a business now and they can't know I don't know math. But when we think about growing, it will cause grace and peace to be multiplied when you get more knowledge. Look what it says. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge. Now, I'm not one that, you know, me and Kathy have just been married just now a few months since February. And, you know, we sat and we talked on this 9-hour trip yesterday. We talked about a lot of things. We talked right now. One of her friends' grandson was in a terrible wreck. Him and his girlfriend evidently got into a little argument. She stopped the car. He wanted to get out. Is he 21? 21 years old. And she moved the car up a little bit, caused him to fall. He fell on his head, and he's battling for his life right now on life support. And so she got a phone call yesterday or text from the grandmother that she works with and said, would you and Kenny pray for them? And we've been praying for him. And you know, she was asking me questions. What do I say? How do I minister to her? What should I say? And she even put on Facebook, you know, would you and Kenny pray for, I can't even, what is his name? Is it Brandon? Huh? Caleb. Would you pray for Caleb? See, that's a tough situation. But in the hospital that she works, she's a case manager, and so several other people, they were having lunch or talking the other day, and there's a gentleman in our area, and he's a white boy with dreadlocks. He goes to Christ Temple, and God has been using him, and he's been prophesying, praying for people, probably because he don't care what people's going to think and say. He's just going to do what God wants him to do. How many of you know we just need to do what God has asked us to do? Don't worry about what people think and what people say. Now, I'm not saying not be spiritual. I'm not saying not do the right thing. But I am telling you, sometimes we don't, God, the Holy Spirit will speak to us to go pray for somebody or go do something or step out in faith or do something. And we hold back because we aren't being multiplied in grace and peace. We're not getting more knowledge of Him. And because we're holding back, we're not growing the way we ought to grow. Amen. That's another sermon in itself, but I threw that one in there. And so during that conversation that you know, and this lady had told her, said, you need to tell her to get a hold of him, have him go up and pray. And he goes to the hospital that this boy is at. And one of the ladies said, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in that laying on the hands and prophesying and all those things. So Kathy asked me that question. Here was my answer back to her. I said, if, of course, the son, right now the grandson is in life support. But I said, if the grandmother or the mama believe that, I believe they will get their miracle. Now, I don't always know why sometimes God does certain things for some people and he don't another. I don't understand that. But I found this out in my life that people get what they believe. They get what they believe. And so Kathy said, I believe I've read of stories, I've heard of stories, and she's, you know, she said things. I remember when we first started dating, she'd come and we started talking some spiritual stuff, and she looked at me and she said, sometimes you ever just get this feeling down in you that you need to do something? And I said, it's called the Holy Spirit. That's what he's prepping us. And how many knows he don't miss it? I will say this. There have been times when I've preached and I've had my sermon all laid out. It's timed out. And it's not, and I've got up there and I preached and ain't said nothing on there. I know ain't a word. I'm preaching. I'm in Georgia. Y'all understand, all right? Ain't nothing I said on there. Well, I didn't say nothing on there. And so I go back home. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me one time after several years. Said, boy, just shut up and preach what I give you. I would used to this. I'm just sharing my heart with you today. I would go to somebody and they'd be a pastor. Same, are you a pastor? They'd go, oh, no, I ain't no pastor. But I go and I go, how was that, man? Did I do good? Did it so good? You know. And now, you know what? If I did bad, they'll tell me. If I did something wrong, they'll tell me. But I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit. I'm just trusting God. And I found out that God will increase. God will multiply. God will give more grace. He will give more peace. And he says here, that as you get revelation of knowledge of him and growing in him and understanding more, see, he will cause you to receive all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, isn't it ironic that he says, I will give to you all things that pertain to life, meaning this life, meaning how to handle it on the job, meaning how to handle it at home. How many of you fail sometimes handling it on the job? How many of you fail to handle it on the house wrong? Has anyone ever made mistakes in here? Four or five people. How many of you made mistakes? I've made them. Let me just give you a revelation. We're still going to make them. There ain't nobody in there perfect in yourself. You're perfect in Him. They sung it today. But see, we got to understand of what God's wanting to do for us. He's wanting for us to increase. He's wanting us to get more knowledge. He's wanting us to get more revelation. And exactly what is, you know, what is grace? Grace, you know, we've heard termed a long, long time that it's the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God. Every time that we pull out on a trip, when we left the hotel today, we prayed and said, Lord, give us favor today. Give us favor at Believers Church on our service. Give us favor on the drive home today. I done that when we left Worthington, Kentucky yesterday around 9 o'clock in the morning and got here at 7. I said, God, give us favor. Give us grace. Give us, you know, show us that. Let us have a great service. If there's anything you need to start praying, say, God, increase favor in me. Increase it in me. So when I thought about unmerited, unearned, undeserved grace of God shown to me, and there's nothing we can do to earn God's grace, but the more we learn of the beauty and love of Jesus Christ, the more we will see his perfect work on the cross. We will look and see what he done for us. We will look and see the things that he died for us. He went to the cross. He took stripes on your back for our healings. That he not only went there and done that, but he died and then he rose again. That's what sets him apart from all the other people that say Buddhas and, you know, all those other ones that I can say today. But see, he rose again. He's alive today. And see, he says, I want to increase you. I want you to grow. I want you to grow in the knowledge. And how many knows you're never too old to learn something? This week, I had a privilege. We've been getting ready for Allie to come in from Italy and Rob. And man, I'm so glad I had a couple days off. She's worked me to death. I've cleaned the garage. We've got the building straightened out. We've worked on the house. I've hung pictures. The other day, we were shampooing carpets. I was cleaning the house. Man, I came home one day, and she'd come home and said, what'd y'all do? And me and the kids had the whole downstairs cleaned, shined, mopped, dusted. I thought it was all done until I laid down, and I missed the whole thing right in front of the TV. I thought, I'll miss that spot. But I, you know, I like, we got it all cleaned. We got it all cleaned out. And I thought, but that's a privilege and honor for me to do that. Because her husband is fighting for my freedom. And the same way that Jesus set me free and delivered me. And since I got saved September 22nd of 1985, I believe I've learned some things. I've grown in grace. I've grown in knowledge. I've grown in the wisdom of God. I've grown in the things that God's given me. And I found out that everything in the Bible points back to Jesus on the cross. And him dying on the cross for us. And the work that he done. And the more we position ourselves. Let me say this, for you all that ever played sports, how many times did your coach tell you over and over and over again, get in position? Tons of time. Whether it's baseball, football, basketball, matter of fact, whether it's even in the band, get in position. Because if you're out of position, oh, Megan's going to do a big breakdance here. She's like, woo, glory to God. He mentioned band, hallelujah. No one ever mentions the band when they preach. But you got to get in position, right? If you're out of position, would not the director say, Megan, you're out of position? When we get in position to receive more grace. Now, listen, I'm not all hung up on, I have friends of mine that they think you got to pray 6 hours a day to reach God. How many of you really have time to pray for 6 hours? Anybody? No hands raised on that one. I have people that sometimes will say you got, and the neatest thing is I heard someone say last week we would visit a church of a friend of mine that started a new church called Grace Culture in Ashland, Kentucky, and they gave away a bicycle to a guy to get back and forth to work. They're doing some things different than what other churches. It was pretty cool. They're doing lots of things, and it's pretty cool. So I don't know, we may, you know, even end up there sometime. I'm not sure. But they're doing lots of stuff. They're helping people with that's been addicted to drugs and alcohol and homeless. And I mean, they're doing some cool stuff. They're doing a lot of neat stuff. But the pastor preached, he made this statement in his sermon last week. He said this. He said, the Bible was made to read slow. And I've heard very few people say that. Because usually my Bible reading for myself has only been a couple chapters at most. I read it slow. I want to, because I mean, I told you, I'm not the smartest cookie in the jar. I'm not very good at math and some of those things. But then sometimes, how many you know we get in competition? We're in competition. We get competition. And you'll hear somebody, and I'll go to Bob and Tammy, and Tammy will say, bless God, I'll read five chapters a day. And I think, well, bless God, I can't let Tammy outdo me. I only read two. I got to read more. Well, maybe she's a lot smarter than me, and she can get it more. Well, no, it's not just maybe even just that she's smarter than me. She can apprehend it more than I haven't yet. So let's don't use the one-up syndrome to one-up somebody. Let's all grow in the grace and peace and knowledge and the revelation that God has given you. And help someone. And I saw a great picture yesterday on Facebook. And it had a person that was the church standing up on here, and he was holding someone. And the next person was a missionary, or like myself, the evangelist that will go out and get them. And the next person they had hold of was the lost. We are all supposed to be connected, and the church is supposed to be helping to reach the lost. That's what we're supposed to do. We get all these other things, and we think we got to do this, we got to have the best, and we got to have, you know, and I'm not opposed to great buildings and sound equipment and great, you know, program. I'm not opposed to any of that. But if we forget reaching the lost, we've missed it. If we forget to help people that are down and out, we've missed it. Calling it bad luck, bad decisions, whatever it may be, help people. But we live in a world today that so much hatred, so much, you know, the love's not there. And we want to be fighting. We want to be, you know, instead of just love. And that's one thing I love when I come here, man. And you know, I looked at Gary a while ago, and he pointed at me, and I was coming out of the restroom, and I looked back, and I was going like acting crazy like I do. And he goes, man, I knew you'd be acting like that. That's Kenny Large. I'm preaching for a new church. I've never preached for coming up in 2 weeks in Indiana. I'm not sure what I'm going to run into. But I'm just going to be myself. And I talked to the pastor yesterday on the way here, and I said, hey, I'm just going to come in. I'm going to be myself. He asked me this question. He said, Brother Kenny, he's being all spiritual. Brother Kenny, do you want to be called evangelist, Dr. Large, pastor? What do you want to be called? I said, why did you just call me Kenny? I ain't on titles. Now, I'm not saying it that it's wrong to call someone that and respect out of respect. I'm not saying that. But if you even watch our news and the things that are going on, people, the things that people call people, respect. Respect. And you know, there's things that I can go further about, but I, you know, I'm not want to stir up anything, but you know, respect. But the more we position ourselves to receive and multiply in grace and peace in our lives, let's look at verse 3 and 4 again. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and His excellence. He says He's called us that. He's called us to be just that person. He's called us to be the people that God wants us to be. And see, when you become friends and you become people that you help and you encourage one is mine is Herschel. Me and Herschel become friends. Matter of fact, he just texted me. He knows I'm here preaching. But I called him last night. He told me, he said, Herschel said he can't be here because he got called to work. Herschel knows, but he just got cell phone service. Some people get all spiritual. Now, I'm not going to answer it right now. Here, you answer him. He good. He don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to Herschel. But see, and then I remember I was going somewhere. I was preaching, coming back on a Sunday night somewhere, and he had called me and said, or messaged me or something, and said, "Hey, pray for me." He was going to a trip in Miami, and he was talking about going down there, and I just picked up the phone and called him and said, "Hey, let me pray with you. I prayed for him on the phone." We become friends. Besides that, he loves to eat. Danielle Wright. That sucker, man, I've never seen anything in my life like him, man. I can eat a whole full meal, be so full that I can think I can never eat. And Herschel put something on Facebook. I'm like, man, I'd like to have that. But you grow, but why? You've got to get yourself out there and you have to make an effort yourself to be friendly. Have to make an effort yourself to show love. You have to make it yourself to show peace. If that's going to be increased in your life, you've got to show it. If you want more and more people to know Jesus, you've got to show. He says, and because of his glory and his excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by what? Human desires. Now, I'm going to go on to the next verse. Clint wanted me to put every verse I was going to use up there, and I didn't have time. Tony, I said, I'll just read them. But I want you to listen to this, and this is why. I want you to listen to what it says. It says, verse 5, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Then it says, verse 5 says, supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence. And once you get moral excellence with, add that with knowledge. Then once you get knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patience, endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. Verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying? Get more patience. How many needs working patience? Come on. We live in a society today that we want everything right now. We live inside that with fast food mentality, microwave mentality. I was teasing, first vacation I've had as a family, we got away and went to Tennessee, went to the Smokies and had a great time for 4 or 5 days. The Lord blessed us with a cabin, which was almost brand spanking new, real cheap. Found out that the people that owned it and lived not too far from us and gave us a great deal, glory to God. And we got away, and I decided one day, you know, the difference between me and Kathy is she likes to get up early, drink coffee, spend an hour and a half before she starts getting ready to do it. That's good for her. I'd much rather sleep. Danielle says, yes. That's me. And so, you know, she just gets up. Sometimes I'll get up, drink coffee. I can even drink coffee, go back to sleep if I need to. Glory to God. I'm gifted in that. Glory to God. People ask me all the time, why aren't you a pastor? I say, because pastors get up early. I don't want to have to get up early. But when I think about that and how we are, we're made different. We're made different. And sometimes, you know, I don't understand why she does like she is. Sometimes she doesn't. But you know what? Life goes on. But we got away in Tennessee, and one day I decided that we wanted to go over to Cherokee, North Carolina, and drive over the mountains. She'd never been over there, and we were enjoying the views. And you know, I was trying to get my daughter off her cell phone enough to enjoy the views. You know, the kids are like this. They're like, Morgan, do you see that? No. Honey, do you see that one? No. Christians, I mean, he's just seeing the elk, and he's seeing all kinds of stuff. He don't care as much more, and he likes to be outside. He's more like daddy, and so we go to North Carolina, and I saw this restaurant that had some great grub on it. They had frog legs. Yeah. Some fish and all kinds of stuff like that. Like, man, we had elk burgers, bison burgers. I said, glory to God. That's where I, and they said, where are we eating? I said, right there. So we go in there. I can never get anyone else to try frog legs. Kathy, she's tried a few things, but she's, you know, she knows her limits at places. And, but you know, and I was waiting so much at the end. They advertised blackberry cobbler. And I got to the end, and the table before us, right beside us, got the last piece. And the waitress came over to me and said, there's no more. They just got the last piece. I, knowing me, said, hey, you got any blackberry cobbler left? Yeah, you want to try some? If my wife wouldn't have slapped me, I would have got up and got my spoon over there and went, man, that was good. She's just now getting to know me, but I probably would have went over there and think nothing about it. Because this lady, his husband and his wife and family was there. But the whole thing, I watched that table, and they were so frustrated about, because they didn't get their food fast enough. Because this didn't happen. And we have lost the knack of just enjoying one another. So this is, I said all that to say this, and I want, if you get anything today, listen. Spend time with God and say, God, help me increase in knowledge. Help me increase in grace. Help me increase in peace. Spend time with your family. Put things aside to do that. Now, you are friends with me on Facebook. You know what my thing is. My thing is get out by the fire pit, man, and light up that fire. Hang out. Kathy blessed me with a hammock for Father's Day. And when you see that, Carol, bless God, it's comfortable, man. It's a good, man, I love it. And matter of fact, I even told her, did I not tell you, honey? I said, if you got this hammock for me, you may not even see me because I'll go start a fire. I'll stay out back all the time. I can cook over it. Got my deer meat ready. I'm ready. Listen to me. Grow in the things of God. Amen. Let grace grow in you. Let knowledge grow in you. And quit being so hung up on all those little details of you know, little things that kind of irritate you and think, listen, I'm the same. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm preaching to you as well, to me. Y'all better get ready to go up there. I'll go over my time slot. Get on up there, man. Grow in the grace of knowledge. Spend time with him. And so I thought, see, God's divine power has given us all things that pertain, not just to godliness, but to life. See, wouldn't you say that health, money, and good job, and a nice home for the family pertain to life? How many knows that? Those pertain to life. Well, all these things and everything else God has already given to us. He's released it to us. And we say, he's telling us, here it is. It's for you. It's for you. Did y'all get anything this morning? Hallelujah, God's good. I mean, y'all stand with me. This Weston team is playing something, and you bow your head and close your eyes and just begin to ponder and think about the things that were said this morning. First off, I'm going to ask you, is anyone here sounding my voice? It's Kenny. I do not know Jesus, my Savior. I don't know him like that. And you want to know him. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand where you're at and say, Kenny, would you pray for me? Anyone? Anyone at all? I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone may say, Kenny, I need prayer in my life from healing and family, and I need job or better job for my family, or I need peace or love. If there's anything you need, if you lift up your hands, Kenny, would you pray for me? Wow, lots of hands. This is what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to get ready to turn it back to Wesley. He's going to close in prayer. But if you're here and you need Jesus to do something for you, and you need salvation in your life, there's people that are placed around this church that will pray for you. They got the little badges on. They got the badges on. They'll pray for you. But the best thing is you can pray right there where you're at to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And all you need to say is, Jesus, forgive me I come to you, I'm a sinner. I've sinned, I've messed up, I failed. And I ask you to forgive me. And because you forgive me and because of who you are, I announce you as Lord and Savior of my life. It's that simple. We make it so hard sometimes. Where you're at your seat right now, if you raise your hand and said, I need salvation, say that prayer where you're at right now. If you said that prayer right there where you're at, would you raise your hand and say, Kenny, I just said that prayer and I asked Jesus in my heart and life, that's me. Would you raise your hand back up? There's one right over here. Look at there. Praise God. Someone just asked Jesus into their heart and life right now where they're sitting at. And what I do ask you to do is see one and somebody. They'll get you some more information. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray over those that raise their hand. Grab your neighbor by the hand. Everyone grab neighbor. Grab their hand. Dear Lord, today, I said, Lord, there's many people that raise their hand from needing healing, needing jobs, needing increase, needing more knowledge, needing things, Lord, that really pertain to life, and also, Lord, things to godliness, spirituality. And Lord, I pray for my friends here at Believers Church and people that I know, people that I may not know today. Maybe meeting them for the first time, maybe the second time. It doesn't matter. But Lord, I do know this, that you are able and willing to meet the needs of these people here today. And I pray for each person that raised their hand, those that maybe didn't raise their hand. And I pray for Believers Church to prosper. I pray that they will be blessed coming and going. I pray for healing in their bodies, and I pray for supernatural increase. I pray, Lord, for anointings and increase in their life. I pray for families. I pray for homes and marriages and children, grandchildren, grandfathers and grandmothers, and moms and dads, aunts and uncles, cousins, Lord, friends, everyone, Lord, to increase. I pray for the staff here at Believers Church, and I pray for the children's church and vacation Bible school that's going on right now, the workers that are doing a great job, and praise and worship team, and Wesley and Megan, all those that are doing great up here. I pray blessing. I pray increase. I pray anointing. And I pray, God, you give us more knowledge of you, and you'll increase us in grace and in peace. And I ask this in the name of Jesus.